that I may approach the truth of God in the midst of the people of God, who is earth maker, pain bearer, life giver, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the dangers of delightful new settings of psalms is that the preacher might have intended to reflect on the language of the original psalm in his homily, Gordon. And it's not that your version lacks loveliness, but there is a kind of rawness to the way that power of God is described in the song from the BAS. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The voice of the Lord makes the oak trees writhe and strips the forests bare. There's a great power loose in the world, according to the psalmist, and this power is the power of the God of Israel. This power is the transformative power of the God of Israel, who seeks a different world than the one that has come to be by our choices and our brokenness, our confusion and our lostness. I am the Lord, that is my name, my glory, I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. There's a statement of something, some mystery beyond our imagining that has this power to transform, to do a new thing. In a world that seemed always so tired and so desperately stuck in the way things are and business as usual, and that's just how it is. This great power can change the world and cause there to be something new. And what does this great power do in the story of Jesus today? This great power goes down to the River Jordan and in the body of a like us, frail human being, it makes a path for itself to the river where it encounters God. It has to push through here and squeeze through there and finally get to the river through the crowds. And what does the great power do then? In the body of Jesus, it joins a movement that is already underway. A movement about the transformation and renewal of the people of God. A movement that some scholars suggest is across the River Jordan, reenacting the people's entry into the Holy Land at the end of their long exodus in the wilderness. Reenacting that entry because making a claim that once more this will be the place in which God's compassion and justice will reign. Moving across and through that river to say that the new thing that God is doing is to transform and renew His people so that they may once more be what the prophet Isaiah promised that they would be, a light to the nations. An exemplar, a possibility held before the world that things don't have to be so God-awful. Don't have to be so desperate. Don't have to be so full of death and grief. But things don't have to be like that. John is quite crazy, of course. But something about him speaks to the hearts of multitudes of people as this movement sweeps through the river and back into the land to say that something new can happen here. That's what all that power in the psalm and in Isaiah pours itself into this moment in which a community is being formed and a people renewed for the transformation of the world. At the Joint Assembly, Christopher DeRising, a presbyter of the Church of South India and a missiologist at Episcopal Divinity School in Cambridge, Massachusetts, but way more than that, just a delightful man, asked how it was that this baptism of Jesus somehow didn't become the norm for how we imagine the meaning of our own baptism. Only he didn't say quite as bluntly as that. He said, how did the solidarity plunge into the fears and aspirations of the world turn into a sin management rite? And how did we lose our way, lose the sense of what we are empowered for and called into by our baptism as followers of Jesus? Surely, if we are the followers of Jesus, his baptism must want to say something to us about our baptism. And the community that he joined might want to say something to us about the kind of community that we join in our baptism. What's it for? What's it about? And it occurs not just to me, but to many, that it is a community of hope and transformation. That this parish church that has been here for so long and has lived so deeply into the life of its environment is not a religion club for a few people with a taste for things anyway. But you already know that. You're already doing that, and one of the reasons that you call a pastor like that into your midst is because I suspect you want someone to remind you when you forget, and to celebrate with you when you remember, and to delight with you in the power of God to work through and in our lives, out into the life of the world for its healing and transformation. I think that's what she's doing here. I don't think that the people of St. John's will always be comfortable with her leadership, any more than we would ever be always comfortable with the presence of God in our midst, who makes the oak trees writhe and strips the forest bare. Bruce Coburn, in one of his songs, sings, somebody touched me like the rain on the wind, left me alone feeling like I didn't skin. And I think in our faith journeys there will be moments like that, when we feel that this is all too terribly difficult, that it would be easier just to step back into some imagined nostalgic haze of the way things used to be, instead of stepping out confident that God is with us and the new thing that God is calling into being. For us to be a community like that here at St. John the Evangelist, in the Anglican Church of Canada, in the Diocese of Ottawa, in any of the places in which people call themselves and are called to be disciples of Jesus, we will need to trust one another and love one another and be kind with one another. God is hard work. God makes the oak trees rise and strips the forest bare. So guess what's going to happen to us sometime? We're going to find this hard going, this being the community of the baptized disciples of Jesus. Let's find a place in our hearts where we can hear what God says about Jesus in his baptism, being said about each of us, and therefore about the one whom we meet, in any of the ways in which we meet in the body of Christ. This is my child, the beloved. I am so glad that she exists. I am so glad that he is here. I am so glad, said God, that we are joined into this great work. I am delighted to be a friend of your new incumbent. I'm delighted to begin to learn what so many of you have already learned, that she brings astonishing gifts and goodness into the life of this community. You also will discover that she is not perfect. Perhaps she's already shared that with you, maybe on purpose and maybe not. That's the nature of our humanity. And it calls out to us to live with one another graciously, and to see one another not as the person who made the mistake or did the wrong thing or upset me or didn't get it right, but as the person who God loves. So that we become a community that grows, that does not need to defend itself within its boundaries, but sees itself as a mysterious goodness called into being by God for the sake of the world. May we believe that God has called us to that journey. May we believe that God accompanies us in that journey, and may we believe that that journey is the journey home to our own true humanity as persons and in community. May God grant us this wisdom, this hope, and this joy. Amen.